Want to first of all say good morning.
Good morning.
It is certainly good to be back in the house of the Lord today. Certainly thankful to see each and every one that's come out to be with us this morning and join us in this service on this Lord's Day this morning. I'm looking forward to seeing what God has in store for us this morning. I'm so thankful to be able to feel His Spirit and feel His presence. And just looking forward to seeing how He will continue to bless us this morning. One of the songs that we had sung this morning, in which I thought everybody that got up here and helped this morning had done a good job in leading, done a good job in helping out. Be honest with you, I enjoy music being accompanied by instruments like pianos and guitars like such as we have up here, but I do like a good old-fashioned a cappella singing every once in a while. There's just something about it that the music just rings more in my heart than an a cappella. I don't know what it is, but I start then thinking, as we were starting to sing, I don't think Sister Rachel could have picked a better song to sing a cappella to than into that song that said, Holy Manna. And I started to reflect back in my life and started to reflect back in the services and the things that we have experienced here, especially in the last 2 years here at Friendship Church. And I'm thankful to say that we've experienced God bringing holy manna down from above. But as the song says, it says, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Folks, let me tell you this morning, we can do our very best to try to praise and worship God, and I can stand up here and try to do my very best to try to preach to you what God has placed upon my heart for this morning. But I tell you this, without the Spirit of God, nothing will get accomplished. Without the Spirit and the presence of God coming down from above, we can't do anything, and nothing will get accomplished. So this morning, I hope that you've come here and you've already started praying and asking God to just bless us with His presence and bless us with His Spirit. Because folks, let me tell you this morning, my heart is just, for the last several weeks, has just been burdened down for those who are lost and separated from God and who don't have a time and place, and nothing would thrill me more than for one of them to say, I got saved. Nothing would thrill me more. Nothing would thrill me more today, even if that happens. Nothing would thrill me more than to see God's people moving and God's people testifying and shouting and singing the praises of God. Nothing on this earth would just satisfy me more than that, because I believe what Psalms 48 says, great is our God and greatly He is to be praised. Greatly, with all of our strength and heart this morning. I didn't mean to get on all that, but that's okay. Let's be praying this morning that holy manna will come down from above, that God would bless us, that the church would move, and that it would cause the lost to have concern for their souls. I wonder at this time, before we go any further in the Lord's service, if anybody has anything upon their hearts they just feel like needs to be said or done this morning. Wonder if at this time there might be anything upon anybody's hearts they just feel like needs to be said or done this morning.
Yeah, I had a friend supposed to come with me this morning, but he ran into some complications, so he'll be here next time, I think.
Okay.
This is where he needs to be. He's lost, and he's 60 years old. He's got 34 kids, so he needs to be here.
Lord help. Lord help. Certainly to be prayerful for this man that Brother Keith requested of. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts? If not, then we'll go into that which God has placed upon our hearts. And I'm going to start off with the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew this morning. If you want to follow along. The 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I'm going to start reading from the 6th verse. Unless the Lord changes my heart, I'll probably read from the 6th verse all the way down to the 13th. And I want to start out with this morning. My title or thought that God has placed upon my heart to bring forth to you this morning would be, God deserves your best. God deserves your best. And I do want to propose a question to you this morning, if you would allow me to. Does God not deserve our very best? I know, and you're probably thinking, well now, preacher, yes, of course he does. But I mean, does he really deserve our very best? You might say, yes, he deserves my best. He deserves my all. Then why aren't we giving that to him this morning? Why aren't we doing everything that we can as best as we can to serve God out of the depths and the fullness of our heart? He deserves the very best from you and I. Matter of fact, I've thought about this. I'll get to my scripture in a minute. But I thought about this. There's people who come in to the church house doors. And they try to, I believe some come here and try to worship God the best that we can. Some will come in. And I'm not just talking about friendship, but this is everywhere. Some come in and just because it's Sunday, they do it because they just feel like it's their obligation. And some do it just so they can be seen. And if any of those two latter ones are you this morning, then I really want you to consider where your heart is with God. I know we often say, well, the lost need to check their hearts and where it is that they stand with God. But I think us who are saved by the grace of God, we need to see where we stand with Him too. Not just on a level about us being lost, because I believe that if you've been truly saved by the grace of God, you cannot lose your salvation. Not one bit. And I believe the Scriptures prove that from time to time to time. But what you can do is drift so far away from God that that His presence just feels so far from you. I've been in that place, and it is a place that I most dread. And I not only dread for it myself, but I dread for it for you this morning. Because it's a place that I truly believe God does not desire for us to be. Now, if we would, we'll get to our verse of Scripture this morning. The 26th chapter of Matthew in the 6th verse says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye this woman? The woman, for she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did eat for my burial. She did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done be told for a memorial for her. I'm going to stop right there for just a few moments of time. And I believe this is probably a story that if any of us have been near church or around it in any given time of our lives, we at least heard a little bit of the woman with the alabaster box. And the alabaster box that we know of is full of very expensive and very precious ointment. And she chose to give that to Jesus. The disciples, they stood and they wondered, well, you could have sold this for a lot of money and we could have given this to the poor. You see, I know from time to time God will lay things upon our heart as saved individuals to do, whether it be to testify, whether it be to sing a praise to Him, or whether it be to go and talk to somebody about where it is they stand with God. And there's always going to be somebody to stand off and judge and look like the disciples did and said, well, you could have done it this way. You could have done it that way. But folks, I tell you this morning, it don't matter however you do it, just as long you give and bring the very best thing you have to God. There was something that was said at New Life's service last night that I went home and I started thinking about. And there was a sister, she stood up and she said, God made me realize I was just giving Him my leftovers. I was thinking about that. I started to think, you know, I love to eat, and I'm sure you can probably tell by how I look that I love to eat. It's one of those things that I just can't stay away from. I wish I can, but I love to eat. But there's one thing, and my wife, you know, she's not here this morning, but I would say it if she was here, because she understands how I feel. I like food that is freshly cooked. I don't like going in and sitting down at a restaurant or fast food. I like good Southern style, homemade, baked from scratch cooking. I do. It's the best kind of food that there is. And I believe you can tell whether you got some corn and tomatoes from the store or whether you grew it from the very back end of your house. I think all that is the very best. But there's one thing that I hate. That's leftovers. Oh, man, I grew up on leftovers. Oh, and I hated it. We'd have spaghetti one night, and it was the best spaghetti it was. Mom would cover it up, put it in the fridge. You'd get it out that next day, and it's all cold. It's all slimy. It's all disgusting. I hated it. You get some ham and you put it in the fridge. Yeah, and that night, you take it out the very next day. It's all cold. It's disgusting. Some of that grease has frozen over it. Nasty. And I know it's laughable, but I'm not really trying to say this to make a joke. But I'm saying this because sometimes we give God our leftover scraps. We do. We'll say, well, I'll study this, I'll pray, and I'll commune with God on my own terms. But first, I've got to do this. First, I've got to do that. And whatever I have left over, whether it be my time, my energy, or my effort, I'll make sure it goes to the work and the cause of God. But I tell you this morning, Jesus said, seek you first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. The very first thing on the forefront of our minds should be, God, how can I please you? What can I do to be a light into this dark and sinful world? The things that's out there, they're the ones that deserve our leftover scrap. Not God. God deserves your very best. And I propose that question, does he not? Why do I think that? Because in the courtroom of heaven one day, the predeterminate counsel of God met, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit met. And I believe God, through his foreknowledge, knew that man would break his commandment of biting off of that tree in the Garden of Eden, and that would cause a division to come between man and God. And so you know what that predeterminate counsel, you know what their decision was? Well, we'll give them the very best thing we have. We'll give them the Son of God. And he'll come down. He'll come down and bear himself in man's clothing. Be born in a manger in a little old feeding trough somewhere. And he'll die the most crucial death there is humanely possible. God gave us his very best when he died for us. And if you've been saved by the grace of God, for the second that we've been born again, God, I believe it's only fair that God deserves the very best that we have and give it back to him. Because this life isn't mine to live for my pleasure or my gain, but as what the Apostle Paul says, for I should live to the one for I should live for the one who died for me. Who allowed me and had bought me this price of allowing me the opportunity to be born again, to be an heir of a heavenly home. He's the one who that I should live my life for and the one that I should give my very best to. Jesus, in the book of Luke, the 6th chapter, I just need you to pray for me this morning. But Jesus, in the book of Luke, in the 6th chapter, he told his disciples, he said, those who are evil, they'll speak only of evil, and I'm paraphrasing this. But those who are evil, they'll speak only of evil things, and those who are good, they'll speak only of good things. Because out of the abundance of the heart, will the mouth speak? Out of what's in the heart, will the mouth speak? I don't believe that we should just be Sunday morning Christians. I don't believe that we should just be Sunday morning people of God. I believe if we talk the talk, folks, we better walk the walk. If we say that we believe in God and we trust in God and we love God and we believe that he deserves our very best, then it needs to be shown. You see, I love, you know, Jesus even said in the book of Mark, he said, those who love me, they'll keep my commandments. They'll do the commandments that I gave to them. Folks, let me tell you, it's one thing to say that you love somebody, but it's another thing that you back it up by action. I love my wife. I really do. I love her so much. And we've gotten to this discussion early on in our marriage. There's times that words just cannot explain how much I love her. So therefore, my actions need to show it. My actions need to prove to her that I love her. And vice versa. She loves me and her actions need to prove that as well. And the same comes to God. We say we love him. We say we want to be with him. We want to commune with him. Our actions need to tell it. The book of John. Jesus was talking to his disciples and he was said, that he's marked them, and I'm paraphrasing this, but he said, by love, all men will know that you are my disciples, that you're my people. He gave them something to distinguish them from everybody else in the world. And that was not only the love for one another, which I believe that we need to have and we need to show, but it's the fact, the love that we have for God. The love that we should have. You know, I tell you this, we've got this big of a crowd on Sunday morning. And I don't mean to hurt any feelings this morning. I'm just going to tell you how God puts it on my heart. And if the shoe fits, you can wear it. But you know, we've got this great group of people Sunday morning. When we come back tonight, I can tell you there'll be a handful. And you can get upset when I say that. But I can tell you this. The people who love God will take time out of their day to be in the house of God. And I know that there's health issues and stuff that happens, but for those of us who have nothing else to do on our Sunday, it shows. Your actions show, and your walk with God shows whether or not you respect the things of the world over the things of God. And I know that we have this fight on a day-to-day basis with our flesh and how our flesh wants to put things ahead of God, and we want to enjoy the worldly things. But folks, it's not the flesh that we need to follow. It is our job to put it in subjection to the will and the Spirit of God. And now you can kick me out when I say it, because I know some of y'all probably want to do that when I say this. You can kick me out when I say this if you want. But I'll tell you this. I'm preaching what God placed upon my heart, so therefore I'll live the rest of my life in peace knowing that. And I love you all so much, I wouldn't be selling you none of this if I didn't. But you know, we need to be more than just Sunday morning churchgoers. You know, and I'm not saying this out of my own grief, but you know, it not only encourages your pastor, but it encourages your deacons. It encourages the ones who put in their time and the effort for the church whenever you show up and show an interest in things. It really does. It gets me excited. Let me tell you, we've had three people over the last 2 years who said God miraculously saved their soul. Praise the Lord for that. But you know what gets me excited? The fact that they've got that fire within them, that they want to see their family, their whole families, saved by His grace. I get excited over that because that's the desire we need to have for all of God's people. Out of the abundance of our heart, the fullness of it, is what we will speak. So then, is our daily communication over the things of God? Or is it over the things of the world? And I can tell you this. I've grown to where I hate Facebook. I really have. I think that Facebook and this internet thing, it can all be used for the honor and glory of God. I really do. But what I've grown to where I hate it is the fact that everybody thinks that it's good to freely voice their opinions about politics. Even God's people. And folks, let me tell you this. If we talked about God as much as we talked about who should be in the White House, I believe everything would be a little bit better. If we debate over the things of God instead of debating over things in the political world, our churches, I believe, would flourish. If we would spend more time having our face in this book instead of being on Facebook, we'd see a whole lot of things happen. Not just for the fact that we're trying to do this because the pastor says so. Don't do it because the pastor pastor says so. I could preach to you until I'm blue in the face, and that won't do you a bit of good until you have a want to in your own heart. Great is our God, and greatly that He is to be praised. Has He saved your soul? Yes, and praise Him. Has He given you this day to live again? Yes, then praise Him. Has He been with you during the deepest and darkest times of your life when everybody else turned their backs on you? Yes, then praise Him. Has He been with you when all you could do was just cry your heart out and say, God, let your will be done? And yet He came around in your prayer closet and comforted you that everything was all right? Yes, then praise Him. There is not a reason to this morning why this church house and all of the churches of God's people should not be filled with the praises of God. He has done way too much for us to just sit on our pews and not do anything. I promise y'all, I'm almost done. But you know, when I begin to think about the work that God has placed me in, you know, I tried studying out over in Timothy and Titus, where they list out the qualifications of the bishop and the deacon. And it said there in the bishop or the elder to do the work of an evangelist, which was to go out and proclaim the gospel to everybody that has an ear. And I tell you this, I'm not just called to pastor and to evangelize, but I believe the proclamation of the gospel is in the hands of all of God's people. I believe that was the sole commission that Jesus gave His church before He ascended to heaven, was to go out and to all who have an ear, let them hear of the good news of Jesus. Folks, I tell you this. Over the last few weeks, I've tried to pray more. I've tried to study more. I guess this is just personal one-on-one time with your pastor. I don't know. But I've tried to pray more. I've tried to study more. And the closer that I find myself trying to get to God, the more my heart breaks for those who are lost and undone. I have had the biggest burden in the last 2 weeks over those who have come into our church, and yet they say they don't have a time and place where God saved their soul. Folks, let me tell you, we all need to have a burden for them. That needs to be in the fullness of our hearts. If you're not going to give your best to God because God saved you, then at least give your best to God because there's lost souls among us. If you're not going to put in an effort because of God, then at least put an effort in for those who are lost. I don't know if you've sat around like I have and contemplated what friendship might look like in 5 years. I've sat around and I've thought about what friendship might look like in 10 years. Might look like in 20 years. And do you know, when I think about the future of our church, it scares me. It scares me. When I think about the future of some of the churches that I've came from in Tennessee, where there's only five people showing up from Sunday to Sunday. It scares me. It scares me. Jesus went to John there in the book of Revelation and told him to write to the seven churches of Asia. And what did he say? He told them all to repent, or else he'll take their candlestick away. You know, God can take our candlestick away. I'm being all honest with you. God can take our light away. God can withdraw himself from us. And then after that, what do we have? Nothing. Nothing. What will our children have? Nothing. For those of you who are grandparents to some of these younger children, 10 years from now, they're going to need somebody to tell them the gospel. To some of you who don't have children, like myself, let me tell you, these children that's in our congregation, they need to be looked upon as the church's children. Because they're in the care of the church. It's not just mom and dad's responsibility, but it's the whole church's responsibility to tell them about Jesus. And you know what? We talked about a great cloud of witness in Sunday school this morning. We need to leave behind some good footprints for them to follow one day. And at the end of those footprints, they need to see that all they could do is look to Jesus. There's a world filled with false indoctrination. I didn't mean to say, I don't mean to say all this, but I'm just going to follow the Lord. Once again, shoe fits, wear it. If you don't want me to come back, that's fine. But you know what? There's so many churches out there that teach the false gospel. They teach how you can be baptized for salvation. They teach how you can just simply make a mental decision and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and yet not have any real conversion experience down deep within the heart. And I want to let you know something. If God allows this world to stand for 10, 20, or 30 years down the road, and let's just say Friendship closes their doors for some reason, there is going to be a world filled with false gospel for our children, for our grandchildren, for our little babies. That scares me. I read something the other day. I don't know if I said this in Behind the Pulpit last week or not. But I read this the other day, and it's just been in my heart. It's stirred up my heart. The writer there, he was saying, if we saw one of our neighbors in their house, and their house all of a sudden caught on fire, would we not move with compassion to try to help them out of that fire in some shape, form, or fashion? So we must have the same viewing over these who are lost and separated from God. Because folks, they are heading down a broad road to destruction. They are headed down a way where it leads to eternal damnation and torments and fire that never quenches. Folks, when you look at it, they are in a burning building this morning. And there needs to be somebody to go in that building and try to pull them out from it. My charge to you, church, let's give our very best. And I'm not just talking about giving in finances. Even though I think with the building project that we've got going on, some of us may need to think about trying to do some more. And when I say some of us, I'm including myself. I'm not just talking about giving financially, but I'm talking about with your time, with your energy, with your effort. Stop giving God your sloppy leftovers and stop giving Him your sloppy leftovers and start giving Him the very best that you have. Even if that means we got to lose a night of sleep and just stay up and pray to God. Because our heart is just so burdened for those who are lost and in their sin. And our heart is so worried about the future of our congregation. If we have to lose a few hours of sleep, then let it be. The fleshly and carnal things of this world don't even compare to the glory and the goodness of God. I know I've probably torn each and every one of you down in some shape, form, or fashion. But if I can say this before I conclude, with all that's happening, there is still a light at the end of our tunnel. And that light is God. Don't take your eyes off Him. Peter, when he started walking on water, his eyes were on Jesus for a little bit. And then the storm started raging. Lightning struck, the wind blew. He heard the thunderstorm. Peter, for a split second, took his eyes off of Jesus. And you know what happened? He started sinking in that water. And folks, if that's not a representation of us, I don't know what is. Because if we keep our eyes off Jesus, all we're going to do is just sink and sink and sink until we can't sink no more. But you know what? Peter, at his very last second, turned his eyes back on Jesus. Jesus grabbed him, pulled him up out. But he asked him one question. And I'm gonna, before when I conclude this morning, I'll just leave you with that one question. Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith, wherefore did you doubt?" Why did you doubt? For those of us who have been saved by the grace of God, really, if you look back in our lives, you can, well, I know for me, I can physically see the hand of God moving. And I can see the outpouring of His heavenly blessings upon my life. And if I see that, then why am I doubting God? And I want to ask you that. Why are we doubting God? I'm done. I hope and pray somebody got something out of that this morning. Sister Rachel, if you want to stand up and give us a song this morning, that's perfectly fine. But you know, we tell the lost all the time, don't be afraid to come up here and seek after God. Church, before we start seeing lost moving, They need to see us move. Before we start seeing this altar area filled up with lost souls seeking after God, they need to see us seeking after God. Consider the future. Sister Rachel.